Today's question is piety eroding in modern society? Let's define piety. What do we mean when we say piety? What we're talking about when we say piety is what we call God-wariness, taqwa, God-wariness. Meaning, a person we believe, we regard to be pious, is a person who constantly sees himself or herself as being in the presence of God. I'm wary of God. What does God want me to do at this time? What does God want me to do at the other time? And a behavior will be a behavior which we will call pious if it's done with God in mind. What's my responsibility? What does God want? Am I doing that taklif? So, now that we know what piety is, or we, at least what we're defining piety as, then we'll look at the question, is it eroding in modern society? We'll answer it as yes and no. Yes, it is eroding. No, it's not eroding. How? if we look at the societies that we're in right now, how much do we feel as Muslims that people are living their lives, people at large, and we're part of the greater society, and everything or most of the things that they do are done because God's watching, God wants it. They may be acts which apparently look like acts of integrity. I'm going to work, I'm coming to work on time, I'm not lying, I'm not stealing, I'm not cheating, I'm driving in the proper lane. But how much of that's being done because of taqwa? God-wariness. Or we hear beautiful slogans, human rights, democracy, defense of democracy. How much of that is actually because God wants it? If we look carefully, we realize that no. If there was ever a time that these things, we'll start with politics, if there was ever a time that politics in the main world was done because of God and responsibility and duty and taklif and these things, now it's much less, if not non-existent, in most areas of the world. We hear talks, and the reason about talking about politics first is because the lack of taqwa, which is done by common people like you and I, cannot be compared to the lack of taqwa of leaders, political leaders, people who have clout. When they don't have taqwa, it can be hell on earth. So, for instance, beautiful concepts, the idea of democracy. Democracy. But then we look in places like Palestine. Are they people? Yes. Can they choose their own government? There's more of them, right? Let's say they return to their homeland because it's their homeland. And they wanted to choose a government. Is that an option? Or is it that when it comes to Palestinians, that concept of democracy is out of the window? Just like in Bahrain, it's out of the window. Just like in Saudi Arabia, which is one of the allies of some of these Western countries. We don't see any complaint, obsession. Why is this happening? We don't see that. So we see a lack of taqwa that way. Or other things which are even very troubling for us as Muslims. When we see drone strikes, right? We see on one side people talking about sovereignty, sovereignty of other nations, people determining their own destiny. But then when it comes to drone strikes in other places, I'm the judge, jury, and executioner. I decide who's a criminal. I find them from far away. I execute them. I don't bring them to justice. Then I talk. So yeah, lack of taqwa amongst politicians and those who run affairs of people, that's obvious. The world is suffering right now. Because those who are in power don't have taqwa, don't have piety. Their actions, even if they're good actions or seem like good actions, they're not done because of God-wariness. So in politics. What about the people? Sometimes you get a chance to see how much taqwa people really have. For instance, you'll have a situation, some of these are true instances. For instance, in New York. For instance, in New York, which is a city, okay, people are law-abiding citizens. They do the right thing. They're going about their business, working. And then what happens is there'll be a blackout. No electricity for it. And you see what kind of animals people can be. I hope I don't get thrown out of England for talking about England itself, but the London riots? The London riots. Some of the people may have went out on the streets for because of oppression. They were angry, upset with some of the things. But then some of the actions that were done once there's no control, for you and I as a Muslim, is this that I'm looting somebody else's store. Okay, I'm angry at the authorities, or I'm angry about this, but I'm looting stores. Is that done because of God-weariness? What we find is that actually a lot of the actions of society, even the ones that seem good, are not being done for the sake of God, because I'm wary of God, acts of piety. Although on the outside, I'm paying taxes. Is that a good thing? Yeah, you're paying taxes. I'm driving like this. I'm going to work. So what happens is both on the people and the masses. Something else to add to. This lack of piety, it's not a natural development. There are hands at work. Powers that want to see that people, instead of following God, instead of acting with taqwa, instead of having true piety, there are forces that would like to see that people don't have taqwa. They encourage it. Why? Why would anyone, any sort of politician, anybody, powers that be, why would they like the idea that people don't act based on fear of God? Good actions, but not based on fear of God. What happens is there's a secret. And Tawarit know this. Tawarit know the secret. What's the secret? If I can get someone to become a slave of their nafs, instead of acting based on taqwa, I'm acting based on... I might be doing a good action, but it's not out of fear of God. But if I can get someone to do that, first they become a slave to their nafs, after that, they become a slave to the person or the power center who they feel can get them what their nafs wants. A tawhut who realizes this will promote deliberately that people get away from God, get away from spirituality, start to follow their nafs. Why? Because it leads to control of that society, and if it's done globally, a global hegemony. So there is an erosion of taqwa, and it's not natural either. There are people, institutions behind this erosion of taqwa. So that's one thing. But that was the yes part of the answer. What about the no part of the answer? On the other side, we can't say that the world is all lost. There is a bright beacon of hope. There is a resistance against this lack of piety in the world. A small group of people who are committed to acting according to their responsibilities and according to what God wants. And this band of individuals are the mu'mineen. Inshallah, that means you and I. We're part of the resistance. The resistance who wants to place piety back in its proper place in society. We would like to see that the world acts on those principles which were taught to us by the Anbiya of Allah and our Prophet, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. I'm going to read a verse of the Holy Quran, because we're not supposed, this is not supposed to be a long talk, we're going to talk among ourselves. A verse from the Holy Quran. Min al-mu'minina rijal. Amongst the believers are men. صَدَقُوا مَا عَهَدَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. There are people who have fulfilled that covenant that Allah has taken from them. مِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ. Some of these people, very much respectful, humble, but it's not necessarily because of taqwa. It's not because of taqwa, 100%. In the traditions of the Ahlul Bayt, we find something else. Not only humility, and humility for the sake of God, but what we're encouraged is to have humility while we are people who are actually elevated in our status. What do I mean by that? There are some people who are humble, but it's because they're basically nobody, or they feel that they are nobody. I don't feel like I'm anything to be arrogant to somebody else. There's somebody else who outwardly has everything, but this person, because of God, feels humble. Although I have much, I don't feel I'm anything. One instance of taqwa. One of the brothers is telling a story. He's from the war front, telling a story. He said that I noticed that there was a guy who would always be cleaning the water containers and the tents. I assumed it was this guy's job. And one day I saw every day the tents are being cleaned, the water containers are being cleaned. He said, one day I saw that the tents... His name was Ismail Dqa'iqi, the commander of the entire base. Outwardly, he has power, he has position. All of the other soldiers are following him. But because he doesn't consider himself to be anything, it's an honor to serve one of the mu'mineen, even if it's just cleaning the container the mu'mineen are drinking water from. I started to follow a little bit of this guy's story. Interesting character. They're telling more stories about him. They said that one of the things that he would do, because that guy, after he heard that, he went over to him and he apologized. I'm sorry, I didn't know you were the commander. You're my commander of the base. No, not a big deal. But they said that this guy, what he would do, there was a certain area of the battlefield that they went. And when they went into this area, the ground was muddy, boots would get messed up. And they said, what we started to notice was that when we would wake up in the morning, we would find that our boots are cleaned and polished. So we start to get curious. What meaning, soldiers, why is it, who's doing this? So one of the mu'mineen finally found out, carefully looking, checking, in the middle of the night, nobody around, this is only for the sake of God, taklif, showing honor to another mu'min is showing honor to my Lord. In the middle of the night, he would sneak into the bunkers of the people, take their boots, and clean the dirt off of the shoes of others. So min al-mu'mineen rijal, there are some people who believe in these values, who aspire to these values, who are working to re-establish these values in the world. Where did this all start? So part of the answer was yes, part of the answer was no. Now, the people who are working to re-establish taqwa and piety in society, these individuals, where did this start? In modern times, because we're talking about modern times, because obviously there are people, mujahideen, from the time of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam up until the current era. But in the modern times, this started with a man named Imam Khomeini. May Allah have mercy on his soul. It didn't start when he was powerful either. He had a situation, he believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and those divine values. Let me tell you a true story. This is from when Imam Khomeini is in Iraq. At that time, the president is a man named Hassan al-Bakr, if I don't make a mistake. And the president, his under him is Saddam Hussein. Okay, and these guys are putting pressure on all foreigners, including the Iranians who are over there, putting pressure on them. So you have been exiled from your country, you are now in another country, and the bloodthirsty Saddam Hussein is one of the people who is now in charge of the government. The person, the first one of our maraja, who rose up against the Ba'athists, was Ayatollah Muhsin al-Hakim. May Allah have mercy on his soul. He rose up against the Ba'athists, meaning, you're wrong. And the regime didn't like Ayatollah Hakim. He's a grand Ayatollah, a marja. They said, at the end of his life, his house was surrounded. You couldn't go see Ayatollah Hakim, you couldn't. So he died in a state where he was angry with the government. The government is angry with him, he's the opposition, and a grand Ayatollah who's opposed to them. Ulama went and they got Majlis Fatiha for Ayatollah Hakim. Among them were Imam Khomeini. Among them, Imam Khomeini. And it was a big Majlis, everybody coming, participating. And they had the Majlis, and then the government of the time decided to send some representatives. Now again, actions which are done only for the sake of Allah. Who is in attendance? The Maraja are in attendance. The family of Ayatollah Hakim are in attendance. Majlis Fatiha. And the government officials walk in. Normally, a big, important personality comes in. One that you're a little bit afraid of comes in. What do? Out of respect, you stand. And they said, everyone stood in the majlis. But Imam Khomeini was someone who had taqwa. If I stand, it's only for Allah's sake. If I sit, it's for Allah's sake. They say, we notice only one person is sitting. Not standing. This didn't start with Imam Khomeini over there in Iraq either. In the time of the father of the Shah, who was terrible, a beast, a wildebeest, the father of the Shah, he came to the haram of Hazrat Ma'asoma. And the ulama, they were terrified of the guy. They stood out of respect. They noticed one Sayyid sitting there, and he's reading Quran, and he's not standing. The Shah walked over to Imam Khomeini. Walked over to Imam Khomeini. Imam Khomeini still sitting, reading Quran. He says, do you know who I am? And he said, yeah, I know who you are. He said that, how come you didn't stand out of respect for me? He said, this book that I'm reading says don't respect you. Reading Quran. He said, the Quran, it says my name in the Quran? He said, no, the Quran says don't respect the zalimeen. So this movement started with this great man, may Allah have mercy on his soul. And it's moving, and you brothers and sisters are part of this movement to push this piety across the world. And the end result of this piety we find in the Quran, Fasbir, Surah 11 and verse number 49. Fasbir, inna al-aqibata lil-muttaqeen. You and I, we're going to be victorious. We are going to work until we establish a situation where our master can return, the person who really has more taqwa than any of us, and this idea of living a life based on piety, we'll see all over the world. The world will achieve salvation in this way.
When piety is eroding in modern society, isn't that already a rhetorical question? It's eroded, it's gone?
To say that it's gone, meaning that if you're looking at society as not being us, society is not
modern society.
Modern
society we see in front of us
right now. To say that it's not being ruled by taqwa, rather taqwa is basically almost. We don't want to be unfair, so we won't say it's non-existent, but basically it doesn't have any role in society 100%. Unfortunately, that is the case. We don't find instances that taqwa and fear of God and what's my responsibility and taklif ilahi. No, that's between mu'mineen if they have it.
I think one of the main barriers these days, one of the biggest threats to taqwa is secularism. And secularism is actually seen in generally as, you know, a very moderate view, when really it's actually an extreme. It's almost the opposite of being pious or being religious is being secular. And, I think these days it's almost, to most people in society, unfortunately, it's laughable if someone's God-fearing. And, I think that's the biggest shame these days, is that someone who actually wants to display their piety, because of the secular society we live in, that they now feel ashamed almost to actually spread the word of God.
I think there's another dimension that we have to look at, or we should bear in mind with respect to the erosion of taqwa. And this is discovered in the history of this very society itself. My brother mentioned secularism. And the different types of secularism. One kind of secularism is an aggressive ideological secularism. Secularism originated as a pragmatic solution to religious conflict, where if you might have a Catholic in power, you'd create problems. If you had a Protestant in power, you created problems. So, it is best to sort of like have somebody non-denominational, for example, running the country. It seems quite pragmatic. And in fact, I might be inclined towards secularism in Saudi Arabia because for my own particular interest. The thing, though, is this came along with the how shall I say, the degradation of religious teachings and the role of religion in society. And I think this goes, this is one of the major causes for people in this society not being pious. And I'm not saying pious, I'm sort of like in between the technical God-weariness that you have described, and also a general type of idea of piety, meaning somebody who believes in God and acts according to the belief in God, you know. To the extent now that, for example, you have this stereotype of piety as being stupid people or dull or no fun and so forth and so on. And I think it's very important to keep this in mind, the role of the environment, the whittling away of the centrality of religious principles and ideas and so on, as a contributing factor to the God awareness of people.
Osam, how do you feel about this idea of an alliance for those who are advocates of piety to be able to influence society in a stronger way, in a more effective way?
I think that I'd maybe like to address this issue in another way.
Okay.
I think that we have that hadith of Amir al-Mu'mineen that people are, where it says people are enemies of that which they don't know. And I feel that Islam is the world's best kept secret. And that if others knew this beautiful religion, then as the Imam says, that if the people knew the beauty of our words, they would follow us. So I believe in the idea of having interfaith gatherings, or let's say alliances on some level, where we can use them as a way of exchanging our ideas. But I also am a little worried about it. Sometimes I find that we are so quick to want to accommodate, to be with others, to unite on certain principles, we may forget our own principles. And these are true examples, where interfaith gatherings had ended up Muslims compromising their principles. We're using it as a platform to go over and to promote ideas which will save everyone, bring everyone to the right path. So we want to keep that in mind, even if we are interacting, and interact with strength.
Very important, I think, that we begin to understand each other. And I think that's what gets missing. You hear bits and pieces in the press, and people think they know about each other, and they don't really at all.
Well, Annie, you've heard the discussion today about the idea being that piety is eroding in modern society. And you've heard what many Muslims in this room have said about the discussion. Does that reflect any of the views that you feel are present among Christian circles as well?
Yes, very much so.
Yeah,
it's very difficult. I think the words Sheikh said about it's the way you live which is important, and I think people see through your life, hopefully, that taqwa, which a word I love. So that is something beautiful that I have gained from Islam. Yes, it is. It's very difficult, I think.
Thank you.
But there is a lot of goodness around, and I don't think we should give up hope.
For me, I found that there's keys we can to get to know and to get to have higher levels, and through like reflection on Allah's names, and through reflection and the du'as of the imams and like du'as of Josh and Kabir, I found that if you sit and reflect regularly and the Quran, it takes you to a higher level. The more you reflect, the more you get closer and understand.
And that is the idea of secularism and the separation of church and state. And as my esteemed colleague, Sheikh Ahmed Hanif, pointed out, sometimes even it may be useful if I was in, for instance, Saudi Arabia, something like that. But the idea that as Muslims we make sure not to accept this as a principle. We don't believe in the separation of church and state or mosque and state. We are waiting for the return of the Mahdi, who will be the savior of all mankind. And Islam, we don't believe, is a simple set of personal laws. It's not only prayers and fasting. Islam has social laws also, political laws also. And as Muslims, when we're asking and begging God for the return of the Savior of mankind and the enactment of all of God's laws, that includes not only the personal laws and how we interact and these things, but also those social laws. We're begging God for those too, that we see the will of God manifested in all of those laws. So it's no way for me as a Muslim who believes and accepts the entirety of the Quran, who's waiting for the implementation of that, to think that no, secularism is somehow okay, somehow I'm not political, I'm apolitical. No, no. We want to see all of God's laws enacted, and the only way is to accept all of Islam's laws, and we realize that Islam is not limited to a few personal laws and salat and fasting and these things. That's all I have.
Awesome. Sheikh Hussam Abdulghani, thank you very much for this discussion.
Thank you
everybody for contributing to the discussion.